Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Yes, it is. Morena, David.
Morena, Rosetta.
How are you this morning?
I'm 10 feet high and bulletproof. There's nothing like a run before breakfast to really make you feel like you're full of energy and life.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible. Well done. Nice one. David's legs already been for a run this morning, everyone. So what are you doing?
This is what happens to you as you get older. You wake up earlier and earlier, so it's the easiest thing in the world to go out and have a run.
Right, very good. Well, it's been a big old time for the world of politics. The polls aren't looking so good for the government. If the election was held today, the right bloc wouldn't have enough to hold on to the government. And then there's also a whole lot of sort of rumour mill stuff circling about MPs within the National Caucus, not thinking that Luxon's the best person for the job, and he's sort of having to shut it all down, and feels like there's a lot of drama in the air.
It's almost as though they haven't done enough to deserve being re-elected, Rosetta. It started poorly and it's just got worse. This guy was supposed to be some master negotiator who, when it came to the coalition negotiations, just bent over and caved on everything. And the result of that has been a whole lot of performative culture war stuff from New Zealand First and some ideological obnoxious behaviour from the ACT Party in terms of workers' rights and in terms of the treaty principles. And that would all be bad enough, but the economy is not just poor because of the world economy, but aggravated because of a notion that you could cut spending and restore the economy by beating your chest about it. And none of that is true. It wasn't going to work. It hasn't worked. And Wellington in particular has taken a terrible thumping for it, but the rest of the country is in a kind of weakened state as well. And when you get to that, there is no thing more likely to put voters off than the feeling that things cost more and prospects are not good, and there's been a steady stream of people through the outdoor heading for Australia, where the opportunities are so much better in so many ways. And those people who go over there are often back here at some point sharing the kind of stories of the pay they can get and the jobs they can get and the conditions they're in, and people think, why in hell are we putting up with this? So that's your basis for it. And then on top of that, we've got this this huge opportunity has just presented itself to shift ourselves into the 21st century of a clean, clean energy, low carbon footprint economy, thanks to a fuel crisis, and they're not even taking advantage of that. They really are the most inactive and cautious government they could be, and this, of course, is all headed by this guy who fancies himself as a CEO, and because he's been made a CEO, figures that he's an extremely talented and important person. And when the polling tells him, I finally got to answering your question, that he's no good at all at it, he just stops reading the polling. He genuinely believes, and I hear this from various people who have, close experience with him, that he knows what he's doing. He's some damn genius, and the plebs who are failing to give support in the polls are dimwits. And so you have this position where you've got a prime minister very out of touch, but you've also got a party going nowhere with it because it can see that they need to replace him. But they have a further problem that whoever they cast around to replace him with is unlikely to make things much better. The first option is Chris Bishop, and he has demonstrated himself over and over again to be somebody who knows better than the rest of the party and is a safe pair of hands, but he too always kind of compromises. And so there's the whole energy that comes off him is just not the charisma that you're looking for in a leader. Your further possibility is somebody like, say, Erica Stanford or Simeon Brown, and they have their boosters, but they're not wide appeal, and they haven't sort of got that X factor that makes the general public resonate. They don't resonate with the public. And furthermore, you might have Nicola Willis, but she is also a discouraging kind of prospect, because there's a snark to her that people pick up very readily, and a track record that is not looking good. You know, as a Minister of Finance, her borrowing has blown out even while they cut spending. A project like the rail ferries that they cut to make a kind of a grand statement about their economic responsibility and their greater capacity as good managers means that we're now in this ridiculous position where it's going to be much longer before we get any kind of ferry, and it's looking very much like the savings that they thought they were going to be making won't be made. And we won't have as much of a project as we would have had in the first place, because it looked a bit gold-plated, because it was going to be properly equipping the terminals on both sides, and they're kind of avoiding doing that. So what it all adds up to is a government that, at a time when we need strong and big and bold and forward-looking thinking and an understanding of where we're going in the 21st century, has made an art form of protecting every stupid vested interest that wants things to say just as they are right now, and caved on any decent policy even before it's halfway out the door. For instance, intensification in Auckland. Chris Bishop was championing that. And then over this summer break, a whole bunch of people got in the ear of Chris Luxon saying, you're going to ruin our leafy suburbs, we don't like this. And he caved on that, just like he caved on the coalitions, on everything.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of where the public is sitting, I think the polls sort of speak for themselves. I'm quite interested as to, you know, your thoughts on the rumour mill of these dissatisfied MPs within the National Caucus who've been leaking to media. Yeah. Is it valid, and can we trust it, or is it sort of, as the Prime Minister's sort of trying to make out, a little bit of a media scare?
Let's see. On the one hand, we've got what all of our common sense and instinct tells us is absolutely likely to happen when the polls start falling. On the other hand, we've got a guy who doesn't accept any evidence that says he doesn't know what he's doing or that he's wrong. You know, there's no question at all that you've got a very uneasy caucus. I've seen this in God knows how many governments now. As soon as the polling suggests that seats are getting threatened, a whole lot of MPs think about one thing in particular, and that is, am I going to hang on to my seat? And that alone is enough to cause difficulties. But on top of that, they can see that they're going to get current trends, and this is poll after poll after poll, you know, what's the likely vote for the National Party, they're going to get shit-canned.
And, do you think it's disgruntled backbenchers, or do you think it's higher-up ministers who are worried about losing their portfolios like Chris Bishop?
But it's both. There's no doubt about it. And that doesn't mean... it's always a fluid and mercurial thing, the operation of a caucus and the operation of a party. So, you know, today's friend is tomorrow's enemy. This morning's friend can be this afternoon's enemy. You're making allegiances and undertakings all the time. You're saying, I support you, boss, but you're also maybe saying something nice to the guy who might be taking over from your boss, so that when that happens, you're also in suite with them. So there's a lot of double talking has to be done. And it's sort of understood in politics that people will go on a TV show and say, I support my leader, wholeheartedly and without reservation. And that, and the next morning there's a caucus meeting and, hello, they've all voted the bastard out, you know. So you're always well served to stand back a little and say, how stuffed do they look, and how likely are they to jump if they think they can? There's somewhere to jump. That's the key to all of this, that they just don't have a good option to jump to. If they had somebody that was even half as appealing a proposition as Jacinda Ardern was to the Labour Party, they'd have done it months ago. But they also have the prospect of the revolving door of doom that started spinning faster and faster for them when first John Key went, then Bill English, then Simon Bridges, then Todd Muller, then Judith Collins. I mean, that's a spinning door. And once people have a perception that there's no solidity to the leadership, you have to work really hard to get the perception reversed to something like confidence. And if there's any one thing I would give credit to Christopher Luxon, it's he did that, although I would give most of the credit for that to the media, who got really excited about, OMG, he's a CEO, OMG, will he be the new Prime Minister? Because the press gallery in particular always loved blood in the water, and they always love a story about some new character. And so they really bigged him up, and way past any deserved reputation. As a CEO of Air New Zealand, he was by far the most lackluster of any in recent memory. His skill was simply to slash fares and try and push ticket sales the same way it worked for him when he was selling soap. Mm. And, he's a very basic thinker. And, that's what's most frustrating of all about all of this, that at a time when we want imaginative and big thinkers like, say, Chloe Swarbrick, what she had to say over the weekend about electrification of the energy system is exactly what we need to be looking at and discussing and getting people excited about. And this guy has not got us excited about a single damn thing. And in fact, even when he tries to pretend to be excited about something that might touch on growth in some way, he manages to make it just sound so hollow and empty and fake that you just know it. It's not bother giving any serious thought to. Mm. And this is a time when we could be changing, profoundly changing our economy for the better, and instead we're sitting frozen in the dazzling light of the oncoming train.
Oh, well, there's the caucus meeting today, and we're talking to Minister Paul Goldsmith tomorrow, so I'm sure we'll get a rundown. But that's just about all we have time for. Thank you so much, David, for your time
this
morning.
You're welcome, Rosetta.
You have an awesome rest of your day.
You too. Cheers.
You too. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.